guess what I'm having tomorrow? A kirtan evening. What to do? What else is there to do? So very soon it will be Radhastami. And Radhastami is particularly the time that we meditate on unalloyed pure devotional service. Because Srimati Radharani is such an emblem of dedication. Of endless good qualities. Pure devotional service is is unlimited. But it's quite amazing, this Vaishnava calendar. If we just take shelter of it, then it's very powerful. Because throughout the year, there are all these different occasions where we are connecting with Krishna and his devotees in different ways. Like Radhasthami, then is that time of complete selflessness, as is found in the gopis who are just aiming at pleasing Krishna. But the amazing thing is that they themselves, although they don't want any pleasure, they experience 100 times more pleasure than Krishna. Because when they see that their service causes pleasure to Krishna, then that is such a great source of pleasure that is greater than any other pleasure. So this is nice, because oftentimes it is said a devotee is not desiring anything in return for his service. Completely selfless. And the gopis are the emblem of that selflessness. But now we see that there is something. There is that spirit of relishing that one has been successful in pleasing Krishna. Like my grandmother, when she would make stacks of pancakes and we were eating them all until we couldn't move anymore. And then with delirious rolling eyes lying on the sofa, then she was in ecstasy. That was perfection of life. So in this way, we are seeing when Krishna is pleased with our service, that is our greatest pleasure. That is love. So at this time, that is the meditation. There are other times. Janmashtami is a festival of abundance. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are therefore worshipping him in a big way. We are going to cook big, we're going to have a big festival, and everywhere it's celebrated, and it's just a big event. We're doing a big fast, we're chanting big numbers of rounds. That is Janmashtami, a different mood. Radhashtami is more where we are being confronted with this incredible example of Srimati Radharani, and we see that, like, where are we? Right? I mean, where are we? Misers as we are, you know. Yes, Krishna, I'll do a little service for you, although I don't really want to, but I'll do it, you know. So that's my offer to you. Like that kind of spirit. And then she's just so wholeheartedly dedicated. That purity is emanating just from everything we hear about her. So that is what we are now preparing for. Soon the Vaishnav calendar will bring us the month of Kartik. And for 1 month, we offer our land, we sing Damodarastika, and we're remembering how Mother Yasoda was capturing Krishna, and how it took extraordinary endeavor and mercy of Krishna. So we also get in that mood, and in Kartik, therefore, we make some special endeavor, something. Then, in the month of December, I have to think if it is the disappearance or the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. What is it? The sun month? Disappear? So then we can, then we remember this strictness, you know, pull your socks up, right? I mean, like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he's like setting such an example. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami had said, his renunciation was like a straight line carved in stone, and it could not be altered in any way. Carved in stone. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also is like just such an example in so many deep statements. So in this way, this Vaishnav calendar or this Panjika is very important in our spiritual life, actually. It's not just like, it's Ekadasi. we should try to really live with that calendar. Because we all get overwhelmed, you know. We all get overwhelmed by so many things that are happening, and then the Vaishnav calendar disappears in the background. But it is actually really, really wonderful to observe all those festivals. Madhava Titi Bhakti Janami, from these titis or these auspicious occasions in relation to Madhava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. Bhakti will be born in the heart. So many great personalities throughout the world, throughout the year. And Prabhupada said Pujayananda on there. Yeah? So that was quite an endorsement. Prabhupada put him on the Vaishnav calendar. Something And they put you on there. Jayananda, who was so dedicated to Prabhupada, gave his savings of $5,000, which were, you know, people in the moment at that time was a lot of money. And he gave it for Prabhupada to print books. So Prabhupada appreciated that a lot. He did so much service. Wouldn't spend anything. He was the only one who worked, because he was driving a taxi in San Francisco. He was older. And all day long he was preaching in the taxi to anyone who got in the taxi. Take that taxi. And then whatever money he made, he would buy things that the devotees would need. So this one, he would buy a sweater, that he would buy shoes, like sort of a father, you know, of the family, taking care of everyone for their needs. So in this way, Jayananda was the temple president. Just like, it was kind of a nice temple president. And he would spend everything on everyone else and wouldn't keep any money for himself. And then he would buy for $1 a pair of pants from the Salvation Army. And that's what he would wear himself. Yeah? The devotees were complaining, you know, you cannot walk around like this. You're the president, you know, this is not representative for the movement. So then they told him, okay, they gave him $20 or whatever, something. They gave him money to go to the shop and buy his pants. So he went to the shop and then he saw them, put on the pants, and they thought, God, they're so expensive. I can't give all Krishna's money to the shop. So he put his old baggy pants over the new ones and tried to walk out of the shop. And the store detective got him, you know. They got him. So anyway, he was arrested, police and everything, a court date and the whole thing. So when his court case came up, then he went to the court. And then in the court, he didn't have a lawyer, he just spoke himself. And he started preaching to the court. And he said, Your Honor, what to do? I am a devotee of Krishna. And, you know, and he explained like how he just was giving his life in service, and that he really couldn't spend the money from the temple on himself, you know, and that like and he took this pains. And finally, you know, finally, I mean, it was such an emotional thing. He was so sincere when he was preaching that the store detective, he melted and he said, Your Honor, I'll pay for those pants. That was Jayananda. Such a personality. You know? So, we just... And then we remember Jayananda. And then the next day is Nrisinga Chaturdasi. And then we can get again in a different mood. And like this Vaishnav calendar takes us more and more into our relationship with all these personalities. Now, today, Sita Thakurani, her appearance, or tomorrow, Sita Thakurani, the wife of that Advaita Acharya, who was very aristocratic, and who came to as an elder to the newborn child Nimai, and brought many auspicious things. She brought like a tiger's tooth set in gold, in a gold locket, which he could wear around his neck. That's supposed to be auspicious, tiger's tooth. I don't know why, but like that. So, The Vaishnav calendar is, or the Panjika, is part of our lives. It's just one of those things that is also there. And of course, it's growing, because there are always new personalities. And you see, like, some amazing days on it, like, for example, Vasant Panchami, the first day of spring. And then there's all these personalities that have appearance days and disappearance days and all that. Vasant Panchami, it's like, first day of spring is an amazing day, really. In Vrindavan, it's a huge celebration. All the deities are in yellow on that day, and to celebrate spring. And the wind turns from north to south, and it warms up, and it's a time of happiness. Vishnupriya appeared on that day. Pundarik Vijayanidhi appeared on that day. Oh, there are five personalities. Gosh, who are they all? Memory is failing again. But just we connect with each of them. Yeah. Vishnupriya, who at age 16 had to face separation from her husband who took sannyas, and who lived till in her 90s, and who just performed austerities ever since, and worshipped this deity of Mahaprabhu, a very large deity, still there in Navadvip. And that deity is of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is not standing like this, the deity is standing like this. Like, as a token of, like, a gesture of personal mercy. When the arms are raised, the mercy is like for everyone. But when the arms are down, then it's the personal mercy. So in this way. And she worshipped that deity for practically 80 years. And just chanting on grains of rice. For each round, a grain of rice. Lots of rounds. That was the rice for the day. You gotta really chant. That works, you know. We can try it one day. Just one day. Try one day to chant on rice, you know. Count rice. For each round, put a grain of rice in a cup. And just see how much rice you get at the end of the day. And then you want to chant. Hare Krishna. Chant faster. Hare Krishna.
Rice we can do it with gulab jamun.
You want to do it with gulab
jamun?
Chant
for that.
That's the modern Hare Krishna. Bili Govinda Swami is the gulab king. Not only can he eat incredible amount of gulabs, he can catch a gulab with his mouth, if you can throw, at a distance. He catches it every time. And it's inconceivably good. Never misses. That's a really amazing power to catch gulabs. He was, in his younger years, he was wild. He still has his wild moments, like in the Kirtan Mela. None of you saw that on the internet, but it was a late night kirtan, and then he started to roar every time.
Have you heard that one?
I lost my voice, so I'm not imitating. But he started very serious. Extremely serious. A kind of serious. Or you feel like cracking jokes. But Maharaj led a beautiful kirtan, which was very prayerful, and then at the same time started to rock. So then we were all dancing like really gracefully. I don't know if it got across on the internet. I doubt it. You got to be there to really get it in full. So the Vaishnavas are having their festivals. Today it's Nilambar Utsav. Doesn't happen every year, but every so many years. How many years has it been that you live here now?
2008,
wow. 2008, so 4 years gone by. Yeah. Since the last Nilambar Utsav. Something like the Kumbh Mela, you know. Which happens in every 12 years. This happens in every 4 years. So the next one is 2016. You can mark it on your calendar. In this way, we will do it again and again. Because in Vrindavan we did these boat festivals, you know, and then what we did is in the morning the deities would already be on like a flower boat for the darshan. So then you knew, oh, the boat festival. And then then the courtyard of the temple in Vrindavan was filled with water. And in the middle, it was an island. And then in the afternoon, like at 4 o'clock, the deities would be placed on the island in a golden temple. They would go there in procession. And there's a bridge to the island. And you could go on that bridge for a close of darshan if you had a gift. Of course, we were also selling pots with sweets that you could purchase and then you could go. And or you could buy any gift somewhere for the deities and put on the island. So this was going on for hours, and the island filled up with gifts while we took all the valuable stuff and put it away. But all the sweets were on the island. It was completely piles of mountains and things. So each year we had a different theme. Mm-hmm. One year we had Radha and Krishna in the Yamuna, surrounded by the Astasakis on an island, and in the Yamuna, Raja Hamsa's big swans, which is Vrindavana Ramyasthana, a famous bhajan. And so we sang that bhajan, and then after the evening artic, it would start. Then the swan boat would come, and we had at the base of the water nice seats for dignitaries. So the first year sannyasis and such kind of persons, but in Vrindavan, right? In Vrindavan, everybody is sort of alert to these things, you know. So I didn't think of that when we organized it. That in Vrindavan, the Vrijbasis are always hungry, and they have like a radar for these things, you know. It's sort of like, so as soon as there is a festival, somebody tells somebody, who tells somebody, who tells somebody, who tells somebody, and it's like that in no time, Vrindavan was there. Yeah. It was packed, you know. And we had different dramatic performances. We had, one year we had a big Kaliya size train appearing in the temple, mouth open. Another year we had like a forest fire, and we had like those you know, have these pots with fire sparks shooting out, and we had many of them, and with these boys in the middle of that in the trees. And the boys were really afraid, so they acted very well. Convincing. One year we had a Kaliya who was underwater in a rubber Kaliya suit with a snorkel. And who swam underwater, and then Krishna went into the water. Suddenly, he came out of the water. That was big. Then he dragged Krishna off to the side, and on the side we had like somewhere a little platform with some extra hoods on it. So the two merged, and then Krishna danced on that platform. Well, yeah, at that time it had become famous, and dignitaries, ministers were calling up, reserve us a seat. They would come, you know, and sit there also between the sannyasis. Then we would, in the end, the deities would go on a platform on the side. We'd take them off the boat. And then we had a few guards, and I would personally then collect all the sweets in the empty boat and make sure with like thunderbolt eyes that no one would go in the water. Because that can be like intense, you know, if I want to. So no one will go in the water if they dared. And then we would first offer the sannyasis and everyone the sweets, and then slowly around everyone got so much. And then after it was over, right, then it was like the monkeys, you know, the monkeys broke loose, you know, and then like all the kids and everyone would just jump in the water and just go berserk, you know, berserk. And Padmanabha Goswami, he said, when a festival doesn't end in chaos, it's not a festival. That's Vrindavan culture. And Padmanabha Goswami, some Radha Ramanta. So, we have to worship Krishna somehow or other. If you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then you can read in part one how there was a Brahmana who went to the bank of the Ganges in Prayag. And there on the Ganges, on the bank, he built himself an altar of cloth. Very intricately, very nicely. And then he placed the deities there, and then he worshipped these deities very, very nicely out there. So, and for that Narada Muni came to glorify. And so this is what Vaishnavas do. Yeah? Okay, we do kirtan, or we do a big puja, something. And it's simple like that, yeah. Or a reading from scripture, or just some Swami who jumps from here to there. The point is that we are in that way trying to explore so many different ways of relating to Krishna. Not that it's always the same, but so many different ways. Some time ago in Germany we had a program, and then at one point I asked different devotees to speak, say something for 5 minutes. And it became quite nice, wasn't it, Jananda? Remember? Satyaraja Sat? You spoke also. Maybe you should speak again tonight. Because my voice is really not at the end.
Jordan?
Yes?
Tell us something. You tell us something all the way to South Africa, just to tell him something. Jordan's been around for a long time. Or what is it, Jordan? 32 years, 30, something like that.
Should I tell the story about?
I don't know what you should tell.
Arjuna marrying Subhadra.
I don't know.
That's my favorite story, or Krishna marrying Rukmini.
Go ahead. Do what you want.
Arjuna was traveling throughout the Ravians, trying to figure out, because he violated one of his principles. When Yudhishthira was in Subhadra, when Draupadi was with Yudhishthira Maharaj, nobody should go in, but Arjuna had to go in to bring one of his bows to protect a Brahmanas. So Arjuna had to do that. He said, now that I have broken this particular vow, I'll go travel all around various pilgrimage places. So Arjuna traveled for 1 year. And in one of those, at the end of his pilgrimage, he went to Dwarka where Krishna was residing. At that time, Arjuna was dressed like a sannyasi. And he was wondering how to... He saw Subhadra traveling through the procession. And Krishna saw Arjuna. He said, there is twinkle in your eyes which doesn't fit your sannyasi dress. Arjuna said, Krishna, please don't tease me. Just tell me how can I get Subhadra. Krishna said, just don't worry. Just sit down under a tree and everything will take its own due course of time. So Arjuna was just sitting there meditating on Krishna and party on Subhadra. when they all came back, Balram saw Arjuna in a sannyasi dress, and Balram said, Krishna, Krishna, look at this sannyasi, he's completely renounced. Krishna said, I don't believe you. He doesn't look like a perfect sannyasi to me. Balram said, come on, Krishna, you always doubt my judgment. This sannyasi has really conquered all his senses. We should take him to our house and honor him. Krishna said, okay, if you wish, you are an elder brother. If you like, we can do that. So Balaram invited Arjuna in a sannyasi dress to their house and told Subhadra, please take care of this sannyasi. Give him his clothes and give him prasadam and everything. So Subhadra used to take care of the Arjuna, the sannyasi. And at one point of time, Subhadra asked Arjuna in the sannyasi dress, you've been traveling all over India. You must have seen Arjuna. Can you please tell me anything about Arjuna? Because she had heard about Arjuna and she wanted to marry Arjuna. And Arjuna was perplexed. He said, so he told a few stories about himself. And then this went on for a few days. And every day Subhadra would come and please tell me another story of Arjuna. Finally, Arjuna could not hold it any longer. And then he said, you've been talking so much about Arjuna. Have you really seen him? She said, no, I never saw him. Then he described how Arjuna looks, how he walks, how he talks. And he says, how come he's sitting right in front of you and you don't recognize him? And at that time Subhadra was very bashful. She finally understood what's going on. And eventually Arjuna finished his stay and told Krishna that I must leave now. So Krishna told, tomorrow morning Subhadra is going for duties, so at that time you take my chariot and you go and capture Subhadra and kidnap her and taken away to Hastinapur. But remember one thing, give the reins of the chariot in Subhadra's hands. So next morning, early morning, Mangalarti time, Arjuna takes Krishna's chariot, and whenever the Subhadra goes to worship the deity, the family deity, she sees Arjuna there. The whole plan is actually revealed. Krishna tells Arjuna, Subhadra, that Arjuna will kidnap you tomorrow morning, because Balaram wanted to marry Subhadra to Duryodhana, and that plan was settled. Subhadra didn't want that. Subhadra wanted very much to marry Arjuna. She didn't want Duryodhana to marry Duryodhana. So next morning, when the Subhadra goes to do the deity worship, she sees Arjuna's chariot there. She immediately runs the chariot. And as told by Krishna, Arjuna gives the reins of the chariot in Subhadra's hands. And then they start galloping towards Hastinapur. And all the bodyguards, they are amazed. What's happening here? Somebody is kidnapping Subhadra. So they start running, but the horses are galloping too fast, so they can't catch up with it. So they go back to Balaram and tell him what's happening. Our sister Subhadra has been kidnapped. So Balaram is very angry. He says, I'm taking a club and I'm going to destroy Arjuna and destroy the entire Hastinapur. He picks up all the army and everything else. But then he finally comes to Krishna to take his permission. And Krishna is quiet. Krishna doesn't say anything. Balaram says, do you know what? So Arjuna kidnapped our sister Subhadra. We should march up onto the Hastinapur right away. And Krishna doesn't say anything. Balaram says, come on, Krishna, say something. So Krishna says, if I say something, you will not like it. Balaram says, your quietness says a whole lot. Please now say what is it that you have to say. Because whenever you are quiet, I'm more afraid of your quietness than what you speak. So finally, Krishna says, well, I have heard that the Subhadra was driving the chariot. It wasn't that Arjuna was driving the chariot. So from what I see, Subhadra has kidnapped Arjuna. Kidnapped Subhadra. And you are unnecessarily angry on Arjuna. So our sister Subhadra wanted to marry Arjuna, and now consider Arjuna is the best bowman. We must want the happiness of our sister Subhadra. So she has kidnapped Arjuna. So now we should just go and celebrate their marriage. So then Balaram quietens down slowly, slowly, and then they prepare the ceremony to marry Arjuna and Subhadra, and eventually the marriage takes place. So this is a wonderful story I like. So the whole point of the story is, whatever you want, you get it. You simply meditate on Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
That's Arjuna's technique. He was always meditating on Krishna. Arjuna's name is Krishna because he always meditates on Krishna. All your dreams, material, spiritual, everything gets fulfilled by simply meditating on Krishna and putting Krishna on our side.
And then, then Balaram agreed, gave his blessings, and then he gave so many gifts, and a huge caravan was leaving for Hastinapur, and so big dowry and so many things. So Arjuna had been away for a year. So the first thing he did when he came back, he went into Draupadi's chambers, and Draupadi, she didn't say anything. And Arjuna said, Draupadi,
I'm back. She said, well, you won't have much time for me because, you know, you should take care of your new queen. And then Arjuna said, you know, the fact that I married her doesn't diminish my love for you at all, you know. But she wasn't impressed with that. So then, you know, like Arjuna went in to other quarters with Subhadra. And then he told Subhadra to dress like a gopi of Vrindavan. And she dressed in reddish gopi skirt and dupatta and the whole thing, looking...
And gopi gowns.
Yeah, looking, of course. Looking exactly like she came in Vrindavan, right? And then, you know, like, he sent her to Draupadi. So Draupadi never knew who it was, you know. Draupadi just saw this girl and she reminded her of Vrindavan, and immediately she started talking about Vrindavan and about Krishna, and they were talking about an hour or more just about Krishna. And then finally Draupadi said, who are you actually? And he said, I'm Subhadra. So by then they were friends. So in this way, the matter got settled up, and Subhadra nicely settled into the household.